It is Tuesday, and that means we're talking about health here in The Takeaway, Todd. Doctors from all over the world are returning home today from the first global mental health summit, which took place over the weekend in Athens in Greece. A major focus, depression. The World Health Organization predicted last week that depression will become the biggest health burden on society, both economically and sociologically, within the next 20 years. Joining us now to discuss this is Dr. Shekhar Saxena, Dr. Saxena, I was practicing your name all along. I got it right now. Who manages the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse for the World Health Organization. We're also speaking with Carrie Cooper, a professor of psychology and health at the University of Lancaster in England. Dr. Saxena, welcome to you.
Thank you.
When we hear WHO, we often think of diseases like malaria and HIV, but WHO considers depression such a serious problem now, nationwide, worldwide. Why is that happening, and how do the numbers compare, say, to HIV or HIV-AIDS?
Well, malaria and HIV are definitely very serious conditions, and there is no doubt about that, and WHO is focusing attention on that. However, depression is also a very common disease and also very burdensome. And WHO believes that the burden because of depression is already high and is going to increase in the coming years. So countries and communities need to pay much more attention to a condition like depression than they did earlier.
I understand that one of the reasons has to do with demographic change because of our aging population.
That's correct, because we as a population are aging, and depression is more common in middle and older age groups. So because of this demographic change, there will be increased incidence of depression amongst most communities.
And indeed, Dr. Saxena, one of the most startling things, and perhaps it's not so startling, is that depression is such a major problem in the developing world. Let's listen to this clip. This is a Kenyan woman, Susan Catherine Cater, and she suffers from depression.
In Kenya, issues to do with mental health are not understood, and there's a lot of stigma. People always believe that you cannot have a mental condition unless you've done something wrong.
Dr. Saxena, why is depression so stigmatized, and what are the special problems in the developing world?
Well, unfortunately, the story from Kenya is not an isolated one. In most developing countries, mental disorders in general and depression in particular is not being paid attention because nobody wants to talk about it. It's, I would call, a silent epidemic. It's large, but totally untalked about. And even governments are spending far less money than they should to control these kind of problems. And the causes are in the communities, in the families, in our own psyche. We don't want to talk about things that we feel we are ashamed of, which is completely a myth. We need to change that.
And speaking about money, Professor Carrie Cooper from University of Lancaster in England, what is the economic cost of having so many depressed people worldwide?
Oh, it's absolutely enormous. The UK government did a study on mental capital and mental well-being, a two-year assessment of it. And we came to the conclusion, having looked at the figures and the economics of it, it was costing the UK economy about $110 billion per annum. And this mostly made up of common mental disorders, which are depression, anxiety, and so on. It really has become a big problem in the developed and developing world. And I think if you look at the sources of it, the reasons why it's become a big problem, it's not just the demographics. I certainly agree the demographics are one element of it, because dementia, we're living longer and therefore more likely to get dementia, and it's very costly to treat people and to sustain people and support people who have dementia. But think about it, in the developed world in particular, constant change, recession, globalization, job insecurity, financial insecurity. And then, of course, as people move around to get jobs, they miss the kind of social support systems they had in their communities and extended family. And therefore, when they have problems, they don't know who to turn to. They used to turn to their grandmas, their aunties, people around them in their community who they knew, who in a sense provided the social support for minor depression, anxiety-related illnesses. They no longer have that because they're looking for jobs or having to go further afield. So these changes have led to this kind of a problem area.
This kind of disruption. We're listening to Carrie Cooper, professor of psychology and health at the University of Lancaster in England, talking about depression as a worldwide problem. I'm Lynn Scherr. Todd Zwillick joining me, sitting in for John Hockenberry. Todd?
Dr. Cooper, Dr. Saxena, I'd like to briefly hear from both of you. Is treatment even an option here? I mean, with other diseases like HIV, for instance, it took years and years to even start to get people in the developing world treated. Whether it's drugs or counseling or a combination of both, for most people in the world, is treatment as we know it even an option? Dr. Cooper?
Yes, very much.
Dr. Saxena, go ahead.
Yes, very much so. Treatment is very much possible. In fact, depression is one of the most common conditions which can be very effectively treated. And as you said, by using medicines which are available and safe.
But my question is getting treatment to these people in very poor parts of the world. Not that it's effective, but getting it to them.
That I think is the difficulty. The treatment is available, particularly in the developed world. There's absolutely no problem. In the developing world, that becomes much more a problem, particularly as I think we said earlier about the stigma associated with mental ill health. There are two elements here. One is the treatments, which are available and are very effective for a lot of the common mental disorders. The other issue is prevention. How do we look at the sources of what causes people to get depressed in the first place? And if you take a look at in the work environment, for example, where you get a lot of mental disorder in the work environment, the work creating it, it's a way people are managed. It's about the level of job security. It's about identifying it early enough. So we also have to do prevention work in the communities and the workplace to try to minimize the kind of problems. Even in dementia and Alzheimer's, we need to identify it and have the biomarkers and ways of identifying dementia early enough so that we can use the medications and the treatments to create so we don't have the long-term impact of dementia, which can be devastating.
And Dr. Kerry Cooper, Professor of Psychology and Health at the University of Lancaster in England, Dr. Shekhar Saxena at the World Health Organization, I assume you consider it a major first step that the conference in Athens actually discussed depression at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely essential. We really have to tackle this. Common mental disorders should be high up the international agenda. It is not only costly to the individual and their families, but to a range of countries throughout the world.
And that's the takeaway on depression, Todd.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.